Thank you so much for having me back, and Michelle, you are way too kind. But it's lovely to be here, to join you again here at Inglewood, and to be a part of your worship, to have the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. Just such a privilege, and thank you for such a warm welcome. Great to see some old friends and meet some new friends here today. Yeah, we've probably got 1,000 stories from Malling, and for 63 years, 60... over 60 years anyway, 1963, so yeah, 61 years. We've been here in Perth. We've had Bible, theology, mission, ministry. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of graduates go into pastoral work, into chaplaincy, into missions around the world, in Perth, in WA, in Australia, and all over the world. We've had many graduates go. We joined with Malling College in 2021, and we've now not only have Bible, theology, mission and ministry, but we also have courses in Christian professional service, in education, in counselling and in chaplaincy. And these are great areas of need to support Christian work, Christian witness, Christian evangelism in the world today. And so if you're interested, we'd love to have the talk to you. If you're interested in answering the call of God on your life, whether for Christian professional service or for Christian ministry or mission, we'd love the opportunity to sit down and talk with you. Contact us at the college. I do have some brochures. I left them in the car, but come and see me afterwards. Say, I want one of those brochures. I'll go get them for you. And I'd love the opportunity to talk to you. Is that all right? That's the end of the advert. I can't remember exactly where, and I can't remember exactly when. It was probably 20 years ago, around about 20 years ago, and I was somewhere in the north of the city. I have this memory in my mind that I was driving down Marmion, is it Marmion Avenue? Yeah. Marmion Avenue, not Marmion Road, Marmion Avenue. Around Hillary somewhere, but that could just be a fake memory. You ever had a fake memory? I'm old now. And I can't remember exactly when, I can't remember exactly where, but I can remember exactly what. I had the radio on, which is pretty unusual for me. I don't often have the radio on in the car. I had the radio on and a song came on and I had never heard this song before. Had no idea who it was, but it touched me. It hit me. It blew my mind, actually. I was astonished at this song. I thought, what is this song? It was just so hard for me to, get my head around. And it was years before I heard it again. Years. And I couldn't get it out of my head over the next few days. This song just kept going around in my head. And this was before the days of YouTube. This was before the days of Shazam. And one day I heard it again. And I said, what's this song? And now, of course, I could look it up. And I looked it up. 1995, Joan Osborne. We've got a short clip for you. I think I'm the one who's supposed to do that. So.
God had a face. What would it look like and would you want to see? If seeing meant that you would have to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and the saints and all the prophets.
What if God was one of us? That's the line that got me. What if God was one of us, just a slob, like one of us. Turn to your neighbour and say, he's talking about you now. All alone. You can hear the pathos. You can hear the loneliness. And I think she's sort of singing it from her own perspective. Nobody ever calls on the phone. Just all alone, just trying to make my way to something better, trying to get to heaven, trying to, hopefully I could just get there. But all alone, nobody calls on the phone, looking for something better. And it seems like she doesn't really believe it. What if God was one of us? Then perhaps he'd know. What if God was one of us? Perhaps he'd understand. What if God was one of us? Perhaps he'd care. What if God was one of us? But God seems so far away. God seems remote. God seems distant. He doesn't know. He doesn't see. He doesn't care. And we're struggling through life on our own. And I heard that song and I couldn't get it out of my head. What if God were one of us? But you know, that's the mystery of Christmas. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. That God actually is one of us. That God has come near. That God has chosen to be God with us and not without us. That God doesn't want to be God without you. God doesn't want to be God without me. God doesn't want to be God without us. He has come so that we might know him. He has come. We're going to get down in the weeds of one of the major passages of Scripture about this today. We've got John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. And as we look at this, it starts telling us a bit about the backstory of Christmas. You know, what is it that came and led to this? And here we've got, in the beginning was the Word. Who on earth or what on earth is this Word? The Word. You know, we sing it, don't we? We sang it this morning. You were the Word at the beginning. You were the Word. We sing it in the Christmas carol. What's the one? O Come All Ye Faithful, Word of the Father. Remember that one? We sing it. You were the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Later on, he gives a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, that's actually just riffing off Genesis in chapter 1. You remember the very first verse of the whole Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was sort of empty and void and dark. And the Spirit of God was over the surface of the waters. And God said, God spoke. And out of darkness came light. Out of mess came order. Out of desolation came beauty. God spoke. But already, in the beginning was the Word. Already, in the beginning was the Spirit. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John, as he writes this gospel, he's riffing off that. If that was the beginning of a heavens and the earth, this is the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. If that was the beginning of an old creation, this is the beginning of a new creation. If that was the beginning of this world, which has fallen away from God, if that was the beginning of this world, which has fallen into sin and into death, if that was the beginning of this world, this is the beginning of a whole new world. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. God wasn't alone. You know, sometimes we think, why did God create everything? Well, God was lonely. You know, and he was up there all by himself. You know, Joan Osborne could have sung that song. You know, God's up there all by... No, he wasn't. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God wasn't alone. God is not solo. God is not singular. God is not solitary. There's something about the Christian understanding of God which is absolutely unique. You know, if God is solo and singular and almighty, there's just power, but there's not love. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God with God, not on his own. And of course, later in the gospel, we find out not only God the Father, not only God the Son, who is the Word, but also God the Holy Spirit. At the very heart of all reality, at the heart of everything that is. How many of you have ever read or watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? What is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? No, it's not 42. It's relationship. It's community. At the heart of all reality, the Word was with God. And even that word with, you know, that word with, you know, this was written in Greek originally. And so one of the things we do, we try and figure out, okay, what does the Greek actually mean? There's a regular word that you use for with. It's the word meth, which these days has a completely different meaning. You know, if you want to say, well, I was with Steve when we were at the shops. Well, you know, we just happened to be there together, you know, with him. Or with. Pros. The word that's used here, it actually means towards. It actually means towards, but the Greek scholars tell us that when it's used in relationships, and sorry, in the context of personal relationship, it doesn't mean, oh, it's just with Steve. It means intimacy. It means that we are turned towards each other. It means that there is a closeness. It means that there is a communion. It means that there is an intimacy between these partners. And the Word was with God, one with God, close to God, sharing God's life. And the Word was God. God was there in the beginning. The Word was there in the beginning. Truly God, holy God, completely God. Nothing but God. Not half God. Not just a little bit God. Not just sort of junior God. But the fullness of who God is. To all eternity and to the very depths of his being, this Word is God. And this Word, who is fully God, completely God, to all eternity and to the very depths of his being, this Word who is God became flesh, became one of us. Became a human, just as we are human. Why? Because God wants to come near. God wants to come close. You know that intimacy that we were just talking about? That intimacy between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in all eternity? That life of God? He doesn't want to just keep it to himself. He wants to open up God's life and invite you in. You know, in Psalm 23, it tells a story. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know that psalm? I shall not want. When God is your shepherd, he wants to do life with you. And there's a verse in there. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I was thinking about that verse, and I was thinking about when you go to a wedding, you know, and you go in there and there's all these tables and they've got the finest silver out, you know, and they've got really nice crockery and, you know, the food is going to be just schmick. And, you know, they've got drinks that never run out. And you go there and you go looking around. What are you looking for? You're looking for your name, aren't you? Have I got a seat at this table? You know, is there a place for me? I want you to know there's a place for you. I want you to know that there is a place for you. Why did God come? He came because he wants you. He came so that you might know him. He came so that you and God might live in communion together forever. There is a place set for you at God's table. He has prepared a place for you. Tell you what, are you going to pull up a chair? Are you going to take a seat? There is a place. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. In our prayer time before the service, Michelle read the verse from a different translation. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. You know, sometimes our neighborhoods are not that crash hot. Sometimes our neighborhoods and life gets hard. Sometimes our neighborhoods, we feel like we're a million miles away from God. But God has come near. God has drawn close. The questions, those beautiful questions that Joan Osborne was asking. Does God care? Does God even see? Does God know what's going on? Yeah, he does. Because he moved into the neighborhood. He's walked where we walk. He's felt what we feel. He's seen what we see. He's experienced what we experience. His heart is broken by the things that break our hearts. God knows. God cares. God sees. And God has come near. So the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we saw his glory. We saw the glory of God. What is this glory? The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Perhaps behind this story is another story from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 33 and 34, and I think you might have even spoken about this a week ago or a couple of weeks ago. Is that right, Peter? Yep, good. Exodus 33, when Monica and I first got married, we lived just down the road here actually, just down in Mount Lawley. Our first place when we got married was a little townhouse in Regent Street West. Anyone know it? Yeah. Just straight down there. And a little townhouse. And we only lived there for 6 months because it really was quite little. And then after that, we moved to a slightly bigger place. But I remember it was built in the 70s. And the decor, oh my goodness, so 70s. And in the downstairs lounge room, you sit down and there's the stairs that go up. And on that wall, they've got this sort of wallpaper. And, you know, I think the person who designed it must have been on drugs. Because when you looked at it, you felt like you were on drugs. I'm not kidding. You sit down in a seat and you're just looking at that wall. And after a minute, it starts to walk. It starts to move. I'd lived in the house for a few months before I realised what it was. The design was really weird. It was like circles and funny shapes all over. And I finally realised what it was. It's golf balls on golf tees. But you can't look at it. It just starts to... But there underneath the stairs, I used to go down there and that's where I'd have my prayer time in the mornings. I'd go down, sit down under the stairs and, you know, Harry Potter. And I'd be having my prayer time and I'd be reading my Bible. And I was reading Exodus 33 one time. And as I was reading Exodus 33, you know, they've set up the tabernacle. This is the grand and opulent tent, which was served as the house of God while the people were in the wilderness. And every time Moses goes out to pray, the cloud of God's glory comes down. And then Moses goes back home to have brekkie and the cloud goes up. And he goes out to pray and the cloud comes down. He goes home to have lunch, and a cloud goes up. And it says, I think it's verse 11, Exodus 33, verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face like a man speaks to his friend. I threw my Bible across the room. I literally did. I just got my Bible and I threw it. I said, God, that's not fair. I'm praying every morning under the stairs, Harry Potter. I've never seen a cloud. I don't know how many years have gone past since then, lots. And I still haven't seen any cloud. You know, and every time he goes out to pray, here comes the cloud. Here comes the glory. And you know, Moses wasn't happy to pray. God shows up in a visible, tangible way. And he's still not happy. He says, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. Now it says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face like a man speaks to his friend. But a bit later on in the same chapter, we actually find out Moses didn't really get to see his face. He just saw all the smoke. I would have been happy with the smoke. Yeah. I would have been happy. Oh God, you've shown up. This cloud of the divine glory, this cloud that shines and shimmers with the splendor, the transcendence, the magnificence of God. I think I would have been pretty happy. Moses said, I've had enough of this. God, show me your glory. And God says, no one can see my face and live. Can't see my face. He said, I'll tell you what, Moses, I'll show you my backside. Now, probably taking a bit of a liberty there. He says, I'm going to put you in this little crevasse in the rocks, and I am going to display my glory. I'm going to walk past you. I'm going to declare the name of the Lord, and I will let all of my goodness appear to you. And when I've gone past, I'll take my hand away and you will see my back parts. So did God moon him or what? I'm not sure. But no one can see my face and live. And Moses says, I want to see your glory. And Moses, one of the commentators that I read said, it was like Moses saw the last rays of the setting sun. The sun's already gone down below the horizon. You see the last rays of the setting sun. And God did declare. Notice this. He says, show me your glory. And God says, I will make all my goodness appear to you. God's glory is his goodness. It's not just his magnificence. It's not just his transcendence. It's not just the infinite holiness of the Almighty God. It's also his goodness, his kindness. And he did. I keep going to go there, but I want to say one last thing. And God said, the Lord Yahweh, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger. Aren't you glad he is? You know, I wouldn't have put up with me this long. I certainly wouldn't have put up with you this long. But God is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in mercy, gracious and faithful. God declared his glory, and that's the glory of God. And Moses caught the last rays of the setting sun. But the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. And we've seen it. We've seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We've seen his glory, the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you see Jesus, you see the glory of God. Finally, John chapter 1 and 18, no one has ever seen God. Not even Moses, not really. He saw the glory, he saw the cloud, he saw the shimmering smoke. No one has ever seen God, not even Moses, not really, but God, the one and only, God the Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. What's Christmas all about? Christmas is about this, that God wants you. God has drawn near to us, to you, to me, to all. He has come that we might know God. If you want to know what God is like, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like the rest of us. Just a stranger on his way, on a bus, you know, trying to make his way back. What if God was one? If you want to know what God is like, he has come. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you see the human face of God. In Jesus Christ, you see the heart of God. I love that story of the leper who came to Jesus, a leper who's been outcast, a leper who's been ostracized, a leper who's been so feared. Because who wants to get leprosy? There's no cure of it. And this leper has to live out there on his own. And this leper comes screaming up to Jesus, breaking all the rules. Comes screaming up to Jesus and throws himself down and says, God, I know that you can. Lord, I know that you can help me. I don't know if you want to. And Jesus says, I want to. That's a revelation of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. When he saw the people hungry and he gave them food. When he saw the people suffering and he alleviated their suffering. His healing ministry, when he was moved with compassion. When you see Jesus, you see the heart of God, the will of God, the way of God, the call of God. And when you hear Jesus, you hear the wisdom of God and the teaching of God. Jesus is God with us, the eternal God, the eternal Son has become the human Son. God has become one of us that we might know God. I tell you something else. If you want to know what truly human life is, you know, if we want to know what God is, look at Jesus. But if you want to know what it is to be a truly human person, you know, there are some times when we see some things, you know, perhaps you're watching the news one day and you think that is just inhumane. How could anybody even think of that? You know, and so we kind of intuitively know some things are just less than human. If you want to know what a truly human life is, look at Jesus Christ, because he is the true human. He is the God-man. He is the one who shows us a truly human life. He is the image of the invisible God. Remember, we were made in the image of God, but we sullied that image. We cracked that image. We distort that image. We have somehow displaced that image with our sinfulness and our alienation, our hatreds. But he is the true image of God. A genuinely human life is a human life that says yes to the God who has already said yes to us. Remember, that place at the table is already set. That place at the table has got your name on it. That place at the table has been prepared. You know, in another story Jesus told, he said, I love that you're going to Coventry. I love that you're bearing witness to Christ in the public square. I love that you're doing that. Why? Because Jesus, in another story, he said, go out into the highways and the byways, go out into the alleyways, go out into Coventries, because all things are prepared. There's a place at the table and it's got your name on it. And there may be some people there at Coventries and there's a place at the table and it's got their name on it. And it may be that you're watching this online. There's a place at the table that's got your name on it. God has already said yes to you. Are you going to say yes to him? It was Christmas when I did. Christmas 1980. I grew up in a Catholic family. My mother was very devout, charismatic Catholic. And charismatic just means full of the Spirit, absolutely devout, read the Bible every day, prayed with the same group of women for about 25 years. Prayed, you know, I come from a family of six boys. My mother was a saint. And I credit her prayers, you know, with the change of my heart. And it was Christmas 1980. I went to midnight mass. Got told off for the priest because I had my arm around my girlfriend. But I'd been hungry for God for several months. Thinking about God for several months. I had become increasingly dissatisfied with my life for several months. You know, he's full of grace and truth. You know, the goodness of God reaches out to us and says, I don't want to be God without you. I want you. But when we come to him, he says, on my terms, on my terms. And it was at Christmas 1980, I saw a book and it had this scripture, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus is saying. And when Jesus says it, that's God talking to you. And he's saying that to you today, come unto me. He's saying that to you this Christmas, come unto me. Come unto me. Perhaps you've been in church for many years. Jesus is saying, come unto me. Perhaps you've known the Lord and you've walked away from him. Today, Jesus is saying, come unto me. You ready to come? If I could say to you, come, and I could do that, I would certainly do that. But it's your response to say, Jesus, I'm coming, just as I am. Just who I am today, I'm coming. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you that you've come near. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we can't hardly believe it, that you want us at your table. Lord, I don't think you know what we're like, really. You know, perhaps you've missed the times when we've not been really deserving of being at your table. Lord, not only our hands are dirty, our feet are dirty, our clothes are dirty, our hearts are dirty, our minds are dirty sometimes, Lord. And yet you just say, come. Touch our hearts today, Lord. Those here in the room, those watching online, move by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father in heaven, touch our hearts and draw us to yourself. If you're here today, and you want to say yes to the God who has already said yes to you. If you want to say yes to Jesus, today's your day. You're not here by accident. You're not hearing this by accident. You're not watching today by accident. God wants you to know that you are loved beyond all measure, just as you are. And if there's any changes to be made, he'll walk with you. He'll help you, and you will never walk alone again. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I invite you to echo this prayer in your own heart. I invite you, whether you've been in church and a Christian for 50 years, God bless you. Whether you've been in church and you've never taken that step across the line, or whether you're hearing me today and you say, yeah, well, I did used to walk with God, but I've strayed, I've wandered. Today you can come back. Echo this prayer. And Lord, I want to pray this prayer for myself as well. God in heaven, we come today. We come just as we are, with all of our hopes and joys, as well as our sorrows and our brokenness. I am who I am, Lord, and you know. But today, I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to say yes to following him. I want to say yes to Him being Lord and Master in my life. I want to hand over being my own master. No more. I want to surrender. Lord Jesus, take me as I am. And Father, for anyone who has prayed that here in the room or perhaps watching online, I just pray for the comfort and the love of your Holy Spirit to so fill their hearts. I pray, Lord, that today and in days to come, you will begin to show up in their life in very gentle and true ways, that they know that you are with them. We ask this grace in Jesus' name.